Look, all I want to say, I appreciate you guys thinking on your feet and, you know, rolling with the way everything ended up changing. I'm just saying.
Well, yeah, you're in the loop on, I mean, be aware that there is a big, there's something big coming that will involve the development committee and everybody in this room, I hope, in terms of some kind of capital campaign to piggyback onto the whole city learning that K50 turning 40 and needing $1 million to celebrate that.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Wayne.
Thanks. And I do remember Dwayne tell us about it, but I don't remember if it was one of the board meetings or maybe the gym manager's work, you know, more briefly, but I remember you.
I think we're being a technology committee. We don't have one to meet.
We haven't met yet. Okay. All right. Okay, can we move on?
We're late. Can we go back to P&B?
Okay, yeah, Wendy, we skipped the P&B report or postponed it until you got here. So those of you who are national directors, I don't know who wants to go first. Do you want to tell us what's going on at the P&B level? Keeping Pacific alive, Susan?
Yeah, let me just mention a few things, and some and others here will probably elaborate. One, obviously, we're having our next meeting here in Houston, and so that'll be cost-effective. It's also a very, very important meeting because it's the meeting at which we hope to be interviewing and hiring an executive director. Sandra is serving as the chair of the personnel committee, and there was one round of executive director interviews and so forth, and I think that there were maybe three candidates produced from that, and then there was another round, and the personnel committee will be deciding on how many will be considered from that group. There's also a selection process going on about the chief financial officer, but there's some discussion about whether that process should go forward before or after the ED is selected. There has been a lot of time and attention given to policies and procedures pertaining to recall elections. George has headed that effort, and there's a recall effort, I think, in WBAI and KPFA. National Finance Committee is trying to review budgets. As Dwayne said, KPFT is the only one that is on the verge of being approvable, and a lot of the issues about the new format and questions like, you know, allocating out costs like debt retirement and so forth are really being brought up and grappled with as a part of our budget process. It is very disheartening how hard it is to get budgets out of the other stations. KPFA has theirs complete. KPFK does not have a 12-month comparable, has to go back and do it again. WPFW has just come up with a very rough draft. WBAI doesn't have anything yet. So that's very difficult. And one of the things that it makes difficult as well is we do not have a good handle on what are critical payments needed in the system at any given time. So there will be an emergency call that goes out and says, we have to make an insurance payment or whatever. There are two places in the system, only two, that have balances, KPFT and KPFA. Everybody else is basically broke. So that is a great, great concern. And I don't, we're trying to work closely with the National Finance Office to stay abreast of that stuff. That's my report.
Thank you. George?
Yeah, I'd just like to add that, and maybe you all know it already, I'm not sure it's been reported, but BAI, which has been really the major drain on the network, has had some very successful fund drives, and they've turned around their management, they've turned around some of their programming, and they're getting like 25-30% above what they anticipated for responses. So,
but they aren't yet paying to national.
This is encouraging.
Yeah, could you explain that for everybody, Susan, so people know what that is?
Yeah, one of the things they are doing, they were miserably badly managed. They didn't send out invoices. They didn't send out premiums. They did not follow up. They did not really maintain their contact with their listeners. But they have racked up over time $1 million in what they owe to the national office, either in terms of the regular payments, such as we make, or payments that the national office advanced on things like rent and so forth. KPFK is behind about $250,000. George has raised the very important question of what does that debt really mean? What we really need to care about is what are critical payments and our ability to make them for Democracy Now!, for FSRN, for insurance payments, for lease payments, that kind of thing. One of the conversations we're having in the National Finance Committee is, okay, WBAI has done this major turnaround. They need to start staying current. They may not be able to retire debt, and the question of how debt gets retired needs to be addressed. But if they are now achieving a more sustainable budget, they need to be current in making their payments to National so that the debt isn't being increased and so that KPFA and KPFT are not essentially carrying them. At the moment, WPFW has zero balance. They're in complete turmoil, and so they're going to start racking up a debt. We have to be able to help them make payments for things like insurance. So we're the change at WBAI is critical, very, very important, and as far as we can tell, extremely positive. But there are some of us who want to see that change result in their starting to pay their share at National.
Well, let me say also that there's been a change in management at PFW, which had been having unsuccessful fund drives for quite a while also. And I'm, from personal interactions with the general manager, I'm very optimistic about that.
He's good.
And also the last PNB meeting, in-person PNB meeting, although it was trashed by the faction in the AUK that's sort of lost power in the last election, seriously prevented from functioning. We did, in fact, have some meetings together which were people left feeling good about the relationships in on the board, which was sort of a first.
Okay. Can we let Wendy give her whatever report she wants to as a director
before
we have questions?
I want to caution us to not get too worried about our money being taken by National. First of all, it is a national network. It needs to stay a national network. Pacifica owns all five licenses, which is extremely valuable. They do, there are some things that they have to get together, you know, liability for the whole network, the insurance things and stuff like that. There have been lots of times in the past where KPFT, who has always struggled, you know, it's just recently that we can pay our own bills, let alone build up reserves. But KPFT was helped out by other stations quite a bit. Now, just in the last year, you know, when we had to take out the $300,000 line of credit, we could have just taken KPFA's money at the time and just used that money. But instead, we came up with this, let's get this line of credit and use a CD, certificate of deposit, that they had to stand as collateral for this line of credit that we got. I mean, it's unfortunate that we had to get it, but I mean, you could argue that we should have gotten, we were going to pay it back right away because we were going to get this other loan secured by one of our buildings that turned out to not be as good a deal as we thought, so we didn't do it. But, you know, nobody wants to take KPFT's money. I just really want people to understand that. And if we do have to use some of that rather than have it cost the network even more, I mean, now what they're doing, like we had to borrow money to pay off the $300,000 line of credit, we had to use money in a programming endowment that we had that had a clause in it that said if you're in, it's for programming, unless you're in really exigent circumstances, which the lawyer said we were. So we were able to use that, to borrow from that money to pay off the line of credit. But it's being paid back, you know, with interest back to that fund. So people are working on creative ways to do this.
Wendy,
so
it's not a question of should we be a part of the system. We should. The problem is that the system is in such bad shape that we all may not be able to carry it much longer.
Okay, well, I understand. But I also wanted to say that some people say, well, why don't we just buy KPFT from them and help them out with a lot of money and they could pay off their bills? In order to sell any radio station in this network, you would have to put it to a vote of all the members of every single station. You know, 800,000 people would have to approve a sale of a radio station, and it's next to impossible. They would never do it. So we just have to figure out how to get through this. It's getting better.
Okay, on the stack for questions, I think. Remember, we're just getting late.
I just want to second what Wendy said. The strength of this organization is in the network. We've seen it before. We've seen it when we needed it. The money was available from other places. The station was carried for quite some time. We've seen it recently with BAI. The BAI was bailed out by people coming from KPFT using personnel from there. A management decision was made from the outside that couldn't have been made from the inside to change people. There really is a strength in the network that we need to support.
Okay, we have Teresa and then Melinda on the stack. And Dwayne?
We now have over 170 affiliates. Just want to call that to your attention. There are many, many community radio stations that want to take programming that is available through Pacifica. And we do make money from that, and they are clients. So they're not like sister stations. They do not necessarily want to get involved in our politics. And some of them may come to our board meetings. They might, as I remind people in affiliate task force meetings, as our chair has been inviting them to our meetings, they should not come thinking that this will be like grassroots radio conference or NSDB. This is a board meeting. And sometimes there are political things that go on there. They're not like educational sessions. But we can be proud that we have 170 stations that take some of our programming and pay money for that service.
Okay, Melinda?
I've got to admit, I'm very concerned, given the hostilities that I'm hearing about that are going throughout the network, especially the nonsense that happened at the last PNB meeting. What I want to know is this. How much nonsense are they going to put up with? Are they going to have the police called out if these people get ridiculous? I mean, we can't have people conducting themselves in this manner. And I realize there's something called the First Amendment, but there's also something as we've got the right to have governance.
The decision was made at the last meeting not to call the police. There was an occasion when they certainly could have been called, when it would have in fact been the hotel calling the police. And we decided not to do it.
The hotel didn't want to do it either. Because it would take a big ruckus.
Right. They don't need that.
So in other words, they're going to be able to assault us, and they're going to be able to get us
I think the decisions just have to be made at the time with what's happening.
I'm concerned. I'm not sure I even want to attend the meeting, and I would discourage anybody from doing it, because if we're going to have that kind of a problem where people have to worry if they're going to get assaulted and they're going to be carrying on like that.
No one was physically assaulted.
Well, I don't know that they won't be, because it's just a matter of time. Okay. I've seen meetings at WBAI.
Okay, Wendy wants to say something.
Well, part of the reason why we're having a meeting in Pasadena instead of, here, because we don't want to burn our bridges in places that we want to come back to. It will be a traveling road show.
We can sacrifice Pasadena.
But there also will be security. And I can tell you, yes, after what happened at the WBAI LSB meeting just the other night, they're in a room this big and there's 100 people in the room and they're trying to disrupt the meeting, and this guy comes, picks up one of these chairs and holds it over his head and runs up the aisle, plops it down, and then falls like on people in the sitting right there, and then calls the police in big drama, calls them himself. It's just a matter of time, you're right, before somebody actually gets hurt at one of these meetings. And so there will be security. On the coordinating committee that I chair, two nights ago, we passed a motion advising the BAI LSB to meet on the telephone.
Thank you.
And so, it was even worse for their local board than it is for what they did at the PNB. So, anyway, I think that they've gone too far, and it's really kind of backfiring for them. It's really unfortunate, I know they really just care about their radio station, and they feel powerless to do it any other way, I guess. But It won't be that bad here, but I do expect 10 people at least from New York to show up, you know, and heckle the board.
Okay, Dwayne?
Yeah, I just wanted to add a couple things about the PMB report, the reports that I've heard. I'm concerned about the PMB meeting. I am really glad it's going to be in Pasadena. I'm concerned about people coming to the radio station. And I'm concerned about just about what expectations there may be amongst the board and the national board as to how open KPFT is going to be to visitors and to hosting events at the station and or outside of the station along with that meeting. But I'm really happy that it's going to be in Pasadena. And I may need a room in this nice hotel myself. The other thing I wanted to say was about the money. We are a relatively tightly run ship here at KPFT, and in terms of the finances, you know, it is fortunate that we've been able to maintain a balance through the entire time that I've been here, and was maintaining a balance in the years prior to that. My only understanding of when KPFT was in dire financial straits or in just kind of a tough way. The levy that we pay currently is 19.5 cents for each dollar of listener support that we raise. I think it's kind of high for the bang for the buck, personally. But it is what it is. It used to be 12. It used to be 8. When it was 12, KPFT was only paying 6. And accommodations were made because KPFT was the little step station, you know, down south. And so accommodations were made back then in the 80s and early 90s to keep the weaker station afloat. So I am empathetic towards our other stations. The fact that our national board and national office allowed stations to be run out of control for such an extended period of time, years, that allowed us to get to this point, that's what really bothers me.
We voted against it over and over. We were just outvoted.
I understand. And that's, to me, one of the deficits behind the whole democratization of this network. And I do remember when KPFT started that, you know, kids in Berkeley were trick-or-treating KPFT with the Bucks Not Bombs campaign and stuff like that. So the family aspect of it is certainly not to be ignored. And we do want to take care of each other. But you know, my concerns are wide-ranging on this thing. I find it very troubling that New York has not even got a tentative budget presented to the PNB yet, and the CFO is also managing the New York station. That is, to me, like a double trouble. And just to finalize my comment, the issue of health insurance, which is, you know, it's a big issue. KPFT, WPFW, and WBAI all use the same insurance provider. We're all covered through a branch of United Healthcare. The California stations were moved over to Kaiser Permanente in the past year or two to save money. The due bill for the United Healthcare hasn't been paid. The only station of three that pay for United Healthcare, the only one of the three that's paid is us. New York has not paid.
And the National Finance Committee has not been informed of this.
Washington has not paid since June. BAI hasn't paid currently. We offered last Friday to loan $17,000 to the national office just to pay the outstanding health invoice for the other station that was due the other day. And the folks at the national office said, don't, because then there won't be any money coming from you next month, and we're going to need it even more next
month. Oh, my God.
So that's how bad it is, you know. And okay, so we didn't send it. Well, I got an email today saying, you know, we really didn't want to ask, and we asked you not to offer, but now we're asking you to send it.
Oh, God.
So today I had to ask to have that money sent, because the risk would be that nobody in Houston or Washington or New York would have health insurance in a few days.
And the National Finance Committee knows nothing of this.
Oh, great.
Nothing.
So, I'm not sure because of circumstances at the station, whether or not. I mean, I made a few phone calls before I came upstairs from out in the parking lot to see if I could catch folks, either Efren or Lynn at the national office, to see if the money was wired today, what the status of that was, and I don't know whether it happened or not, but I'll verify that.
Well, I hope somebody will bring that up at the next PNB meeting.
Healthcare for all now.
Yeah, okay. Ron.
I just want to make a quick comment, and this is something for the local station board members to consider, those who are on the national board, and that is, what sacrifices are these other stations making to deal with the economic crises that they're in? I mean, perhaps Duane touched on this somewhat. I mean, our staff... there is no staff, really. I mean, people have not been replaced. The news department has 1 1/3 person. And when you call and when you talk to some of these other stations, they have, a staff of 5 times ours. I mean, that's not saying a lot, considering we have 1 1/2 person in the newsroom. But I think that that's something that you guys need to consider when you say, you know, and we're concerned about, you know, the other stations not taking money or taking money from KPFT. But, I mean, what sacrifices are they making?
I think it's an excellent question. And one of the discussions we had on National Finance Committee last night is several stringers are being paid in New York. And the question was, we don't have stringers.
Thank you.
And we're supporting basically a level of staffing where you are that we can't afford. But there are some fixed costs that cannot be gotten out of, and some costs that are difficult. We have a lease that was entered into by the predecessor board in New York, and we have a lease on the Empire State Building tower. Those are very, very expensive, and we must maintain them, or we're going to be evicted and lose one of the greatest assets the station has. Or the system has. Another thing is that in Washington, D.C., there was misinformation about when their lease was up. Their lease is up in November this year and has not yet been extended. They may be out on the sidewalk. The fact that we own the building that we're in is very, very remarkable. But the level to which this foundation has been mismanaged by the previous board and by this one is really extraordinary.
Jordan? Let me say that the budget for this last year, essentially all the stations took cuts in staff, KPFK, PAI. We, I think, took a cut by default because the CAA wasn't there. I don't know what else happened, but the budgets were balanced largely by reducing staff. KPFA actually didn't do what they were supposed to do, and they're $300,000 worse off as a consequence. They still have the largest amount of money in the network. It's about $800,000, something like that. I haven't looked lately, but something like that.
$600,000.
And
they're a donor station, and they have
a donor. But what Susan's saying is also true. BAI is really in trouble. It's got a $700,000 a year bill for the offices and for the transmit. $30,000 a month for each, which is pretty hard enough to make up for. So it's not entirely, it's not that people weren't willing to make sacrifices and didn't actually do things. It's just we're all about circumstances.
Okay, it's almost 9 o'clock. Ready to move on? Appreciate the information. Be sure to fill us in. Anybody who's not aware, you know, if you want to check into the drama and all the interesting stuff on the national level, you can go to kpftx.org, and all the PNB meetings, all the national committee meetings are streamed live and they're archived. If you don't listen to the whole thing, go to the archive and skip through the parts you don't care about. And it's a really good resource. There's also a calendar there of upcoming meetings, so you can find out when each national committee is meeting, like the National Finance Committee.
And you can get autographs from some of your favorite PNB members.
Right. But the in-person national meeting rotates between the five stations, so it comes here on the average about once every 15 months, and so the next one is going to be here in Houston next month. So everybody's invited. Okay. Let's see. It's before we go to standing committee reports, it's almost 9 o'clock. Can we go ahead and do public comment? Did any of you want to speak from the public? Any comments, questions? You know, you can throw things at us if you
want
to be like WBAI or whatever.
No.
Okay.
We have a negotiator.
Can you come a little closer, Nancy, and speak up so we can record you? Or so we can.
Well, I don't know. They have a negotiator when there's a hostage situation. If there's somebody with a lot of good humor, or wouldn't it be nice to have the Smothers Brothers in a way? Or would they do a little slot, you know, just a little quickie? I'm sure they'd have a nice thing to. I'm sorry.
We'll see what we can do. any other comments from anybody?
I initially wanted to ask a question.
Yeah, Bob. Yeah, come up a little closer so we can record you.
I'm Bob Hatchell. I heard a calling on Labor Day about somebody saying that since Ike, the power has been less than he had experienced before Ike. And maybe what you just said this afternoon or this evening explained that.
In part, yeah.
That the power was reduced because of the
digital. Oh, the other power.
Yeah, the regular power. That was reduced. Yeah.
Isn't the way of the future digital, not HD? Wasn't that a kind of mistake? No? Yes?
Well, we'll have to see what the FCC does. Okay, ready? Go on to the rest of the meeting? Okay, we have a bunch of committee reports, and it's almost 9 o'clock. So, ARDC. I know Ted emailed us a written report. You want to go over that? Or?
So, first of all, I would like to acknowledge the members of the ARDC who are here. That includes the gentleman who just spoke, Bob Henschel, Herbert Steptoe, Ron Reynolds, and Bill Crozier. Am I missing anyone? Okay. I want to...
Ollie?
Present here.
Oh,
right now.
I'm sorry. Yeah, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And Nancy.
And Nancy, who has done things with rice that I never thought was possible. This,
rice that you eat or rice that's the university?
Rice university.
Rice that you eat.
Oh, rice that you eat.
She may be the reason why some people come to our committee.
Oh, you have food at your meetings?
She has done it. Okay. I want to remind, I'd like you to look at the report. In the third paragraph, positive ideas, that's the outcome we want from this town hall meeting. Then I would like to draw your attention to items 5 through 12. Before I address number 5, I just want to thank Dwayne for the amount of time and energy that he has spent in the morning promoting this town hall meeting. It's not necessary, but it sure is appreciated. Item number 5.
Is this report been circulated?
It has. There's one across the table, David Salerno.
Which one?
With everyone.
We'll pass this one over.
When do you have it?
Okay. Referring to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. Item number 5. Dwayne and it appears as though Ernesto is going to be present if he's able to get there. But he's shown in an email today, he showed an interest in attending. So there will be opening comments limited to 3 minutes each by Dwayne and Ernesto. And now Susan Young. So that's item number six. Item number seven. Each breakout group facilitator will announce in advance their view, need, and concern. And we need people from here to assist us. So if you're willing, we have some members of the committee, but we're talking about 10 breakout groups, assuming we have 100 people present, but no more than 10 people in a group. And we don't mind having smaller breakout groups than 10, even five people in a group would be fine. So we might have 10 groups of five. So we need facilitators to assist in setting the agenda. For instance, P.K. McCary has indicated that she's interested in facilitating one of the breakout groups, and she, her concern, remember this conference is about, or meeting is about, views, needs, and concerns. Her concern is, well, the title that she's come up with is Putting Community in Community Radio. So that's what she will be addressing, and then other members in that breakout group from the community will be able to talk about their views, needs, and concerns, and then a report will be brought back, and each breakout group, item number nine, will be where the breakout groups report, and then responses of up to 1 minute each will be requested from Dwayne, Ernesto, and Susan. Item number 10, for those people who don't get a chance to express what they wanted to express in their breakout group to their satisfaction, 10 people will have their names drawn from a hat from the audience, and they will be allowed 1 minute to express whatever comment they want. And then we have a representative, it will not be Cherry, but if you were at the workshop that we did on sexism, you know that the Center for the Healing of Racism has some really talented people, and so one of the members of that body will be present for the entire event and will make some closing comments. Number 12, we need a timekeeper. A member from this body who is term limited, I guess really what it means is not running for re-election. So if we can have volunteers in that regard. We've.
You want to do that before you go on? That in the,
yeah, do
in
we
the
have
breakout
some,
group facilitators?
Yeah. Yes, I would love to have. Okay, David, you're volunteering to do what?
Timekeeper.
Okay, that's great.
One of your breakout groups.
Okay. George.
Thing in mind, but if you put in front of
something. Okay. George is one. PK. Okay. Joe.
That's a Sunday.
Let me pass out, and you can take. We have Bob and Nancy Henschel contributed to making these flyers. We also did some photocopying at the station. But if you want to take one of these and pass them around, it's details. Okay.
I love this thing about the mops. you might have to bring mops.
Well, let me tell you, I've checked. It is not expected to rain either this Saturday or this Sunday, so that was the big concern that they have, that Richard Shaw had, was that their building has a roof that leaks. But no rain is in the forecast as of this morning for either Saturday or Sunday.
They have an old building in it, the roof leaks. They're planning to rebuild it, but not yet.
What time does it start? So it's
5.
Five to eight.
5 to 8 with meet and greet and refreshments from 5 to 5:30, and then the actual formal part of the meeting starts at 5:30.
And if you'd like to help, if you can help us set up, move chairs and tables, and or if you want to be a facilitator, please come early before that, like 4:00 or something.
I can't make it to 4, but I could be there at 5.
Will you be a facilitator of one of the breakout groups?
Sure.
Okay. Well, we may have more than we need, so if...
that's only 4 names.
Well, we have committee members who are also committed to doing it.
Seeley, do you have a question? Or?
But I'm sure that we'll work this thing out. Did Teresa say your hand up?
I have a question about the committee in general. 2 months ago, the local station board asked the ARDC to address the issue of community inclusion. And twice you did your second report and you're not dealing with the issue that we're mandated by the bylaws to conduct business for committee of inclusion, and we asked the ARDC to deal with that.
Okay. Noted.
Okay. Sue?
I am curious as to what the goal is of the town hall meeting apart from meeting the requirement. And I say that because I feel like we enlist public input, and I am not entirely sure that it is dealt with in a meaningful way. And I find that to be a source of continued frustration when people speak up, state what they want, and nothing comes from it.
Anybody want to respond to that?
Well, I was just going to say, I think that that then becomes the responsibility of the board. I mean, the ARDC can suggest and aid, but ultimately, I mean, the information that is gleaned from that town hall meeting should, you know.
Well, okay, let me just qualify that then. I would just ask that if there's not a clear purpose and goal for the town hall meeting going into it, that we get some sort of understanding of what we hope to achieve, if there's anything beyond just meeting the requirement to have a town hall meeting.
Let me tell you, we are going to some extreme lengths, and I should have said this before, we need people like yourself to bring laptops. We are going to extreme lengths to try to encapsulate what goes on in the breakout groups, the comments that are made by management and the panel, and to draft a report that reflects what transpired at this meeting. I don't think that previous town hall meetings have been able to come up with a report that shares with this body and management listeners' views, needs, and concerns, and I think that that will take us towards the direction that you want to take us to. But we are doing that, and so if people do have laptops, I know that Ron has one, Bill has one.
We're going to just record it.
So, okay. We are going to be at least going to that extent. Susan.
Actually, we did try in the past in several different ways. You know, we had lists and one thing and another. We had responses given at the place. We did recordings. Follow through is very, very hard. And I would suggest that there are several ways that we might be able to do that. One is that the things that are brought up be referred to committees and become an agenda of the committees is one. Another is, with Dwayne now being on the air 5 days a week, it's that can become subject matter for the pre-open journal stuff, and committees can actually try to feed back into that. a third idea is, are we recording this?
Yes, that's my understanding. Not all of it, because each breakout group can't be recorded.
But what is the, what I would have loved to have seen, and particularly at Chocolate Bayou, and we did record it, would have been for there to be edited snippets that, you know, that are on that say, this is what we heard from you, and, you know, the comments about things you're unhappy about, things that you are happy about, and that, and then also the entire recording is available on KPFDX or whatever, so that there is a follow-up on We Hear You. One of the things that's, however, very important is, just because you bring it up and want it to happen does not mean you get yes.
Let me point out to y'all that I was at a national board meeting in Los Angeles, and they had just had a town hall meeting in East Los Angeles, and about 250 people showed up, and each person was given an opportunity to go to the microphone, one after another, all 250, and by the time the last person spoke, virtually everyone else had left. So you could record that entire town hall meeting. The logistics of this one with breakout groups is that there is not the logistics for that, but the reports.
What I'm saying is the reports.
Yeah.
Let the reports and any of the general comments do
if
that.
If you look at our committee report, you'll see that Bill Crozier is working with station management, and some stuff he's put out by email today, to have the technology there so that there will be recordings of key parts of the meeting, the one exception being the breakout groups.
So if that can be on KPFDX, the whole business about possibly recording, possibly editing pieces, that requires somebody devoting a lot of time to that, who knows what they're doing.
There's going to be reports of the breakout groups, so.
No, I understand. What I'm saying, though, is that, you know, somebody gets up and they said, you know, what I really like about it is this, or, you know, I think one of the worst problems that we're facing today is this, and no one is dealing with it on the radio, and I want you to do that.
Well,
you know, those kinds of things.
Recognize, Susan, that it's up to management as to what gets put on the air.
And we
David has cut back. David has hand up a minute ago.
Sorry.
Anybody else want to comment about the town hall meeting? Did we get any other volunteers to be facilitators?
What we need you to do is for everyone to come early. No, I didn't say that. You're on the list. No, you're definitely on the list.
Okay.
And Celie also?
Okay. If you can come and be there, as we see how many people are attending and how many committee members have shown a desire, the task of being the facilitator means that you have to, I guess, take notes and give the report of your breakout group. Is that what you decided in committee?
Yes. The facilitator will be responsible for finding someone in their group who would take the notes.
Or do it themselves.
But it may be difficult for them to do it themselves if they're facilitating. So, but basically the responsibility is that person's.
I'm happy to type, but I don't want to lug my heavy-ass laptop. So if somebody else will bring a laptop.
I'd rather
I'll be
notes.
On my bike and I don't want to bring a big heavy-ass.
Well, I can do if it's recorded, I can then take the recording, if I'm allowed a day or so, and transcribe it. If, you know, but for the breakout committees, I will need the notes. So, but if we're going to record it, then maybe that would just alleviate the note taking, because I can transcribe it. Yeah. I type about 60 words a minute.
Would we not have a recorder? It sounds almost like somebody with a recording from the station takes these comments that are randomly or from group to group, go around and record them. So you have some samples, as Susan suggested, that would be useful for a show about what we hear at the town hall meeting.
interesting to me. It sounds like an interesting show.
That's a good suggestion, but just a point of reference and some clarification going back to number four. You know, we talked about me doing the acknowledgments and opening comments, and I'm just curious as to whether or not, and while we have our election expert, whether or not I'm even allowed to do that, considering that I'm running.
Say that again now.
During the town hall meeting, I was going to do the acknowledgments and opening comments, but...
And he's a candidate.
But you're a staff candidate.
Yeah, you're a staff candidate.
If not, can I nominate Lee to do that in my place?
Or Susan?
Lee'd be great.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it may be a little bit different than a staff candidate. I mean,
he's staff.
Yeah.
On the radio all the time.
And you're also an incumbent. You don't stop doing your LSD job when you're.
Well, but Bill is not.
Apparently the rules have to apply to all of them. So that's why we did it. But yeah, I mean, it seems like it's a different thing for staff.
Okay.
We have some other committee reports, members.
Yeah, or Tag can do it. I just want to make sure that we're clear and that I, you know, that the town hall meeting doesn't affect the electoral process for the board.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
It.
I'll check with that.
Do we need volunteers for refreshments too, Ted?
What?
Is that something you were?
You know, just one question that
okay,
Tag. Lee, did you get the answer to the question you asked? You asked a very good question.
Well,
what is the stated goal and purpose of the town hall meeting?
To hear listeners' views, needs, and concerns.
It is to gather the attendance from the
in
people
here.
Attending in the community.
It's in the book.
Okay. But she asked that question.
Very quickly. Compliments on what you've done on this, but can we have a report next meeting about Committee of Inclusion? This instruction has been given twice. One of the concerns is that nobody is doing Committee of Inclusion. And so there was a commitment by this committee to do that. And I hope you will give a report at the upcoming board meeting.
Teresa said that. I said noted.
I understand, but it was supposed to be at this meeting.
There's only so much.
I understand.
Okay.
Let's
go on to the next committee if we can, because we got several others to do.
If this is not dealt with, if this committee of inclusion, we gave a mandate, we voted that ARDC would handle this, would address this.
Right.
If this is not made a high enough priority to come up with some solution at the next meeting, I'm going to suggest that we disband ARDC so we can focus our energy somewhere else.
Okay. Can you remind us a few days before the next ARDC meeting? That'd be helpful too.
Number one on the agenda.
Okay. Well, that's just a request if you can remind us. Okay.
Suggest that you come to our next ARDC meeting and perhaps give some guidance and help facilitate the Committee of Inclusion? Because
nothing personal, Ron, but as Ted just said, it's in the bylaws?
No, I know.
It's in the bylaws.
I know, and I'm not taking it personally. It's just that I'm just, you know, your input and...
In my opinion, ARDC should disband, and what you're doing with the town hall meeting could be done by the COI.
Okay, let's go on if we can.
I've got to respond to this.
Well, you sure have to have a response.
Yeah, because, yeah. And can I say, because, too, it's a you're putting a responsibility... on a committee, when I became part of the ARDC, I did as much as possible to understand that committee. I have not done that with the Committee of Inclusion, which is why I'm suggesting that you come to the next meeting and perhaps give some input.
Okay, Ted.
At the national board meeting in Berkeley, they voted to mandate the creation of ARDC committees throughout the network. That vote has not been rescinded, and while COI is in the bylaws, ARDC is also a motion that I don't think a local committee can vote to abrogate.
What year was that? most recent meeting?
No, this was back when we had the national meeting that was preceded by that workshop that was held at New College in San Francisco.
Okay.
That's okay.
So both are mandated.
Before the bylaws were written.
I just want to make that clear.
If you want a clarification, the bylaws specifically defines committee inclusion. Brief summary. Let's take a look at that.
We've
okay.
got too many bosses.
Can we move on to budget and finance? Because I know that Dwayne touched on some of that, but George?
Yeah, I thought it was necessary that we go back and look at the budget again because it's quite different from what it was before. In fact, the difference amounts to approximately $70,000. Of additional expenses, so we were going to have a surplus of $48,000, and we're going to wind up with a deficit of, well, as it stands in the budget, about $14,000. That doesn't quite add up, but I'll tell you why in a bit. This is the KPFT budget. So I was going to ask us to approve the changes that Dwayne made, but the budget itself is not really, I think, ready to do that with yet,
right.
Since it's still being adjudicated with the NFC. But I'd like to tell you what the changes are, where the additional expenses were. Dwayne pretty much said it, but I'll just sort of repeat it shortly, briefly. The major change is to replace Osei, the administrative assistant who was also the receptionist. That comes to $42,000 when you include benefits as well as salary. Another change has been the 10 o'clock till
1.
Yeah, 10 till 12. That's what Rourke is on, isn't that right? 10
to 12. Yeah.
Yeah. Rourke is being paid a quarter time as a
operations
person. He's also doing a show in the time that he's being paid for as an operations person. That's $6,000. Laura, who is was one of these quarter-time positions, is now got a 60% time position, and that's another $6,000.
Let me just suggest that this is probably, I'm sorry, executive session because it's talking about salary.
For additional, all right, I said it already, so.
I understand. I'm sorry, I didn't catch it sooner.
Maybe you don't need to submit to the dollar amount, and if somebody's curious, we can ask you later or go into executive session briefly. Is that
we
okay?
Don't need to go into executive session. My main point was to give you some idea of where the money was going. It's mostly going into additional salaries. There is some money that's been mandated by the national board, which is going out the door, that wasn't there when our budget was put together. The mandate was made after the fact. One of these is FSRN. We agreed to send them another $2,000 a month nationally, which is $24,000. Our piece of that is about $750 a month for 12 months. It's about $8,000. So that was broken up according to who sort of, I guess, level of income primarily. The other is the increase, the money we're paying back to ourselves pay off the $300,000 debt that was taken out last year in order to actually to meet ongoing expenses. This is now credited, this is now taken out of the Heath account, which was, what, about $800,000, something like that, or $1 million? It was a much bigger.
Anyway, it's like $700.
This was a bequest to the Pacific.
It was a bequest from a while back. So we're now basically paying that back to ourselves with interest. And again, all of the stations are going to do that. It's a period of 3 years. So that's where the extra money is going. I expect we'll have a budget by October, perhaps, where we can
hopefully have
approve.
It before the PNB meeting in person.
Okay. Can you email it all to us and get it posted on the website once it's sort of finalized?
Yes.
What?
The budget.
Post the final budget when we actually get it through the NFC.
Oh, well, not if I have to take 10 pages of Scotch tape.
No, email.
To do it.
Email and get posted on the website.
But if Efren will put it into a form that is readable, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Anything else on budget and finance or any questions?
No, this.
Okay. Development.
No report.
You have some off-air fundraisers coming up. You want to say anything about them? What people need to be doing?
We have a hot air open on November 8th.
What should people be doing for that?
Should be out soliciting people to sponsor a hole or play golf. We need help from every board member on doing that. Just think of people, you know, all those things that we got last time didn't just come together. People worked their butts off to get those hole sponsors and stuff. I haven't gotten one myself yet. Is there another one?
Yeah, if you know of a small business.
Did the Howl in the Heights happen yet?
Nope.
27th this month.
Okay. Bluestown is having a thing at Dan Lipro's Guitar Bar on the 27th.
These are all in my report.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I just want to make sure.
I'd say the Community Green Fest is an attempt by the Laugh Organic Outpost and several other nonprofits to give a fundraiser for KTFT. We've decided, I guess, between Eddie and Robin, they decided not to have the big music event, which could have been a much bigger fundraiser, but would have been a lot of work. I decided not to do that, but we hope that you will go out to the Emile Street Community Farm and pick some okra or some squash between now and then and help clean it up. And
so there's not going to be music?
There will be music, but not a music fundraiser party in the evening.
There was originally a plan for a night venue that has been canceled. Instead, it's going to be a daytime only.
But this
venue
will include booze and music and food, a food competition, and there will be a silent auction. There will be raffles at drawings every hour. There will be sign-up family activities. So it should be a wonderful time. It's so accessible. Four blocks from Waco and I-10, just east of 45. It's so accessible.
What's the date again?
The 24th of October. So do plan to attend, because it's going to be just a lot of fun in the garden.
Okay, thank you. And again, any of you who know any small businesses or people who'd like some publicity for their own business or something, please ask them to be a hole sponsor for the Hot Air Open. Go to hotairopen.org or talk to Robin. Thank you. Okay. Facilities management planning. You should have gotten a email report. It's also on the website every month. And I forget when the next work day is, Dwayne.
It was moved up from the 10th of October to the 3rd because the 10th is going to be a backyard beat the heat, clear out the closeout sale, backyard garage sale.
And
October 10th, isn't that when PMB is here?
Yeah.
Yep. PNB members are invited to ditch the meeting and come spend money and buy some used records.
I thought that the garage sale was this weekend. I thought that we were doing
October 10th.
October 10th.
So.
Okay.
What time does it start?
I was just talking to Janet the other day.
Garage sale's always
I volunteered. I thought it was.
So the workday is the first Saturday in October this month.
October 3rd.
I volunteered for the 10th.
Okay.
Okay. And Richard's, you know, up in New York with John from the building committee also to help them get a building committee started up there, the WBAI.
They already left?
Left yesterday.
They were in Selma, Alabama last night.
Nice.
So they're on their way. I don't think they're there yet. Okay. But he's still in touch by email and phone if you need him. Governance. Anybody on the governance committee have a report? Richard's the chair of that, too.
Meeting did not.
Okay. MSRC.
Yes, the main thing I'd like to report is that the MSRC is currently meeting and coming up with plans for the 2009 report and to set review meetings for the 2008 report. Some tentative dates set for the next MSRC meeting are October the 13th or 14th right now.
14th.
So once that date is decided, then
okay,
that will be announced.
Oh, yeah, and when did these other meetings, like development and budget and ARDC, all those in the next meetings? Do you have the dates?
ARDC is in the last part of the report I submitted.
Oh, yeah. Do we know about the
other committee? The Development Committee date is first Wednesday of every month. The Program Council keeps scheduling their meetings on our day. I think we've been on the website longer. I don't know. I might have to bow out, too, because I'm just going to do Orsho Gala like every day from now until then. So, I don't know. First Wednesday is when it is. That's the website says.
Okay.
October 3rd.
Thank you.
The next one will be the last.
October 3rd is a Saturday.
From Program Council?
Oh, I'm sorry. From Development Council.
Development is the first Wednesday, October 3rd.
Okay.
It'll be like October 7th.
Okay, I'm looking at, no, I'm guessing
October
7th. No, September
30th. Yeah, I think, wasn't it decided this last time to be, maybe I'm thinking of a different date, to be at the end of the month?
Not, not, oh, no, sorry, okay.
All right.
You can change it if you guys want.
No, it's okay. It's your committee, it's okay. And
program,
I, again,
I think the Program Council decided to move its meeting to the end of the month, I believe.
Oh, good.
Maybe that was it. Okay. Outreach. Melinda?
Well, basically, with outreach, we've got the 27th, we've got the Blues Hound. It's going to, we're going to be having Howl in the Heights over at Dan Electro's. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we're trying to get as much excitement behind the golf tournament as possible. I must admit, we've had some disappointment in that we've been trying to get ideas going regarding the town hall meeting, but thus far all we've done is basically talking. So tomorrow I'm going to sit down and I'm going to be cranking the phone, because frankly I think we need to get one done. So I encourage anyone, you know, who has ideas to give me a call, because I'm looking, I can't seem to find anything to piggyback on, so we're just going to make our own. And okay. I'm thinking about going through the public libraries to see if we could possibly find what to do that. But ideas are one thing, but it's one thing I must say, I wish you guys had been at the meeting the other night with elections, because I thought that Bill Crozier really said it very well when he was talking about how many ideas get thrown out with no one, you know, putting elbow grease behind it. And we really need to really, I'm hoping for the coming year we're going to start focusing more on that.
Okay, and you meet first Tuesday of each month.
First Tuesday of every month, everyone's invited. I send an email.
Yeah, Wendy?
Teresa just corrected me. I didn't run the last development committee because I had a gala meeting. So anyway, they apparently chose September 30th for this next meeting. You're right.
Oh. 6 p.m. development meeting, September 30th.
Okay. All right, thank you. We'll see. Any other questions about outreach? Technology, no meeting. Let's see. If somebody wants to step forward and you mean it, then fine. I volunteered a long time ago, but nobody, no, the board members were interested. The technology committee, I've met a few times with some other people individually, but nothing this month.
We've never managed to get any enthusiasm behind that, even when TC was running it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway. Let's see, special committee reports. We don't have a CAB report. I don't think they've met this month, have they? They do meet once a quarter normally, community advisory board. Community inclusion, as we discussed, no reports. So maybe we'll have something next month, a combination of that with ARDC. And again, if anybody's interested in the committee of inclusion, that's one of the things we need people who are interested in to help us move forward.
Yeah,
Ron?
Yeah, I just want to go back to that, because really in good faith and rich taste, I requested for Teresa, and if not Teresa, some board member to come to the next ARDC meeting to brief us on the responsibilities of COI and how we can possibly include, you know, those suggestions that are given, you know, and incorporate them as one. So I wasn't upset. I'm not taking it personally. It's just that I don't fully understand COI. So it would be helpful if someone can come and help explain, you know, the purpose and the goal of that committee and how it can work with the ARDC.
Okay, Melinda.
But Ted, weren't you on the committee of inclusion at one time?
But it's spelled out. It is spelled out in the bylaws, so as long as we remember it and get to it, we should be able to deal with it in some way.
Let's just, if anybody has something to contribute to that, let's just please send it to us. Okay. Yeah. Next, we do have a lot of stuff to talk about on the program council. Yeah, Mary.
I'll be real quick. As related to COI, I do want to mention that I have copies of the report that was put together by Ngozi Kamal, two, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I will get that to Ron either at the meeting with Ted.
That's the best thing.
Yeah, those things will be helpful. Awesome. Thank you.
If I do have copies, I'll get those to you so that we'll have them for that meeting.
Okay, thanks. Okay, next is Program Council. Teresa, your report.
I would like to say that even though I had requested that it not be done, they scheduled a new program committee meeting today.
New program evaluation
telephone conference was held at 7 o'clock tonight. We will be meeting, the local station board had requested that we meet with the program council. The program council did say yes, we would meet with the local station board, and it was suggested that that we pick a very specific topic to discuss, because it's not the intention of the program council to like to have a very lengthy discussion. I suggested to the chair, since it's a co-chair situation, that perhaps we start the meeting at 6:30 and local station board people come and have that segment of the meeting from like 6:30 to 7:30. So there would be a full hour's worth of time. And you were there, Bill, when we voted on this, so I'm hoping that you can come up with a topic that you feel is specific enough that it doesn't take up the whole program council meeting.
Okay. Well, I already sent a long note, but or a couple of them, so I won't comment right now. But anybody else want to comment on the, or is Wesley's not here, is he? Who else is on the program? Stacy's not here?
Stacy.
Okay. Susan?
Couple things. One is perhaps, one of the ideas that was talked about in the past was sending ideas to the program council. So perhaps what we can do is everybody here around the table, you and as people, send ideas to you. And I'll bet that they group into certain areas, and that would suggest what a topic might be at the first topic, number one. Number two, I would like to express I'd like a resolution of this board that it is inappropriate for the program council to schedule a meeting that conflicts with this board meeting. The reason for that is we have elected three people to the program council. And by scheduling a program council meeting, it means that the LSB is basically not represented on the program council. It is inappropriate. I'm really frosted about it. So I move that there be a resolve of this board that the program council not schedule its meetings when
or
an LSB.
Friendly amendment and just.
Okay, wait, is there a second?
Just that we couch things positively. I feel like there's a punitive tone, and I know we all get frustrated, but we are volunteering, and I think most of us are doing our level best, and so we entreat them to schedule the meetings.
We won't schedule our meetings on their day either.
Right.
We have our board meetings scheduled all year long.
Okay, so yeah. Is the motion...
I'm happy to make it less punitive.
Shame.
I was going to ask for...
Punitive way, please don't do this again.
Please schedule when our LSB members may...
When the LSB is not meeting as a board.
Could you...
Hang up the cat of nine tails.
And our committees. Because to help our secretary, could you restate the motion?
Kindly. Schedule a meeting.
I was
Okay. Yeah, could you write it down, Susan? Yeah, that would help. That's true. That's
well, now I have to figure out how nice I'm going to be.
There we are.
Okay, while she's writing it, let's go ahead. Okay,
the motion is to respectfully request that the program council not schedule meetings on days other than local station board meetings. And Lee, if you can read this.
Oh, I read okay. The other one. It's fine.
All right, Kim.
It looks like two of the three LSB members elected to skip this meeting and go to the program council.
Well, no, one of them's out of town.
Maybe that's what Wes is doing.
That's probably
Wesley
what Wesley's
Bethune
doing.
And Stacy Davis. Who's the third?
Teresa.
Okay, well, let's tell you, Teresa.
Okay, the suggestion that was just made was that each of us could send ideas to either the program council or to Bill, who would then send them on to the program council.
Right. We have the motion on the floor. Is this relevant to that?
I was talking about something that was being discussed just before that. So
okay, well, let's finish dealing with this motion.
And then I...
Yeah, okay. Then we'll get back. Okay, is there any discussion on the motion, Susan's motion?
No.
Do we need to state it again? I think we got it.
Respectfully request that the PC schedule its meetings at times that do not conflict with LSB board meetings.
And the
PC committee could be PC and its subcommittee. Okay. Pretty please. Cherry on top.
Okay. Is there any objections to the motion that's restated here?
Wait. Can I offer a friendly amendment?
We'll see.
Since you're including not just the PC meeting, but all of its subcommittees as well, if there could be some phrase added in relation to the subcommittees, if there are any LSB members included in the subcommittees.
If LSB members serve, right.
Doing work,
right.
Because an LSB is meeting.
Right.
Yep.
If there's no LSB member on the subcommittees.
And subcommittees on which...
In which LSB members serve. You mean you want
any
to deny them the right to come
members
here and make public comments?
Okay,
members of the
program
council?
Okay. Is there any objections to the motion that way?
That's a good one.
Just the hostile.
Yeah,
that's
okay. Make it more hostile? No, okay.
Remove.
Okay. So hearing no objection, that motion passes? Okay, without objection. I need to put that in the minutes. It passed without objection. So, okay, Ted.
It's objectionable.
Okay. The point that was made earlier about sending ideas to the program council, the original request was what should they focus their energies on? Mm-hmm. Now, I, as a member of the LSB, might have a skosh, although I doubt it, more influence, as each of you might have a skosh more influence in terms of ideas that we might want to present to the program council. I doubt it. But if we were to speak with one voice as to what we see as the priorities that we as an LSB feel should be the focus of the program council, and if we were to be able to communicate that to our three representatives of the program council, then it would seem to me that it has some influence. I don't personally think my single voice has much more power than any other member of the Pacifica Foundation, or in fact any other listener to KPFT or any other citizen. So I think it's important that we in some way or another figure out what we, the LSB, believes are the priorities of the program, should be the priorities of the program council.
Okay, Wanda?
I wish to object to that, because the thing is, it's one thing for us to request that they allow our members, which we've elected to them, but it's another thing entirely for us to be dictating to them what their purpose should be and their focus. I'm sorry, but that sounds entirely too imposing. We are a part of it. We do not comprise it. We do not dictate to it. They are not a program committee. They are a program council. They are separate and equal.
Let me raise a point of order. We need a motion on the floor because we finished talking about the report, unless you have questions about the PC report. So does somebody have a motion? Did you want to turn that into a motion?
Yeah, I move that we spend 10 minutes in a committee of the whole to discuss, quasi-committee of the whole, with you continuing to chair, to discuss how we approach the program council on this issue.
Okay, it's 9:45. Let's try to keep this really brief. So,
so 10 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Any objections? Okay. All right. Any discussion on Ted's motion?
I just gave my discussion.
Okay. Can we vote on Ted's motion? Okay, Susan.
Yeah, I would. First of all, I respectfully disagree with Melinda. I think that this is appropriate because we can have that communication with our three members. It's not dictating to the program council. It is helping our members understand what a will of or what the ideas are on the board that they are representing. So I think that's a good idea. I also agree with Dwayne that this merits a conversation early in a board meeting, not at the very end of one, brought up as the last minute, and that it be announced in advance so that people make a real special point of coming to that board meeting.
Okay, Tim.
Agreed.
I would like for us to spend 8 minutes on this conversation now and resume it as high as the chair of this body is willing to place it on next month's agenda.
Okay,
point of information.
Yeah, George.
I don't see anything else on the agenda. Is that correct?
Except the motion.
Right, but we have the rooms are till 10, and we really should put the room back in order.
And we have
not too much to do, and get out of here by 10 because they're paying people
and
probably
the meeting
to
adjourns
keep
at
us the building unlocked.
So it requires a 2/3 vote to extend.
We only reserve the room until 10 o'clock. That was assuming
adjourn.
That we would
second.
Have.
Second.
Okay. All in favor of adjourning, please say aye.
Right, can we just say at the next meeting we'll put this up higher?
Yeah, that's fine with me.
We
can't. That's fine with me.
Our meeting with the
what
PC,
about
we agreed to have our meeting on the 7th of October, right? So there's no need to discuss it.
We haven't really agreed. Dwayne, I mean, Sandy.
Want to move it till November,
Sandy just wanted to do it at the office.
Okay, whatever you want.
There isn't
I think
any.
We can do both things, and they're somewhat separate.
Well,
anyway, so adjourn.
Okay. If you had any business, you probably should have put it on at the beginning when we were doing it.
Oh, okay, no.
But,
all right.
Or we can't next month, if I can wait. Okay, so we have a motion to adjourn. Sorry. Any opposition to adjourning? Okay.
Yeah,
all in favor of adjourning, please raise your hand. One, two. Raise your hand if you want to adjourn.
It takes a 2/3 vote to move the time beyond 9:45.
According to your standing rules.
I just have a quick request.
According to Robert, is it a point of information?
Well, yeah, I guess.
I'm
sorry. Yeah. It's just a quick proposal, and it will take 30 seconds, and that is I propose that KPFT with the Defender newspaper and or in conjunction with the Houston Press host a mayoral debate, and I'm asking for the board's and Dwayne's and Ernesto's approval and support.
Host a what debate? A mayoral debate.
Yes.
They have already just said no, they aren't going to do anymore. That was announced in the paper this morning, and they are not doing it. We tried.
I was speaking with Anise the last time I spoke with her, and she said that.
They just announced in the paper the three campaigns, Gene.
Well, if you can do it, I think you can do it anyway without whether
right.
we approve
okay.
or not. But, okay. Well, actually. I hate to do this, but your motions are ordered.
All right.
We have a motion to adjourn.
All right, that's fine.
Okay, is there any objection to adjourning now?
No.
Okay, I'll adjourn. Thank you. Stick around for 5 minutes if you can and help us put away the microphones and cables and all that. Thank you all for coming.
And